good morning. I'd like to start with a reading from John, and it's kind of long, so we don't need to stand up the whole thing, but it kind of sets up the pace for the service today. So it's John 4:7-26. It's Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And it says, "When the Samaritan woman came to draw the water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock?' And Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.' He told her, 'Go, call your husband and come back.' 'I have no husband,' she replied. Jesus said to her, 'You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true.' 'Sir,' the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem.' Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one you are speaking to, am he."
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand and sing this song and worship our Lord.
Altogether lovely, altogether worthy.
together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Oh, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship.
Lord God, be with us in our hearts today as we reach out and lift out and worship you. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Patrick. We haven't met, and I just got kind of wrangled into doing this today, so I hope I do a good job for you. And let's turn around and say hello to someone we haven't met.
Hi.
Hello.
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 We'll pretend
hello.
We haven't met, okay?
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I used to lead worship at a church in San Jose, and we're always nervous about breaking into the greeting because it was a larger congregation and everybody would just like catch up with everybody else and they just go on and I'm taking so much time. But that's okay because it's all in love of Jesus, so we're good.
Yeah, Patrick,
yeah.
Small church that I go to, we used to, when greeting time, we'd walk around, hug each other and greet with a holy kiss. That all stopped with COVID.
Oh, man.
But it was, yeah, it was a special time.
Why don't you sing with me? When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. With a thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and all holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in love and purity. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
God in three persons.
God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Lord God, you are holy and blessed, and so worthy of worship. Thank you for hearing and taking in our offer of worship this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in my past church, we used to call this part the prayers of the people. Remember the back button? There you go. So, prayers of the people, I think Bill kind of does this as part of the service, but we have it kind of separated out, so I'm kind of relying on the crutch of what I used to know to do this today, so... here we just do some prayers, and I'll just pray for the church and for the community and for our leaders and such like that. So if you pray with me, please. Lord God in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us together today. And Lord, we lift up so many people in our congregation. There's so many health issues and so many stress issues and people traveling all over the place. And We just want to lift that up to you, Lord. And of course, we lift up Bill and his family, the COVID and everything else going on there. Please, please bring them to healing so they come back to worship with us here and in Bible study. And Lord, we lift up Cliff, who can't be here today because he's out in Quincy taking care of the house. Please just take care of their family and bring him home safely. And Lord, I just lift up those who are sick and healing. We have surgeries that I recall. People who are on medicine and taking treatments. Lord, we just lift all that up to you this morning. And Lord, I lift up our community, the Calaveras County and our little towns within. Lord, I just pray that you bless the upcoming District 2 election, help people make good decisions, and help us find that leader that you so long to have. And homeless issues and all kinds of things in our community. Help us lead our community with your spirit, with your light. And Lord, I lift up our national election. It's such a crazy, crazy few months we're going to go through. Give us discernment. Give us understanding. And help us find that leader and bring the leader that you have so appointed for times such as these. We love you so much. And we need you. And thank you so much for bringing us together. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Lord God, please hear our hearts as we read your word and learn about your word today with Mike. We love you and we need you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You couldn't have picked better songs for this message if you wanted to. The Holy Spirit working. Yeah. Before I get started with the message, I want to tell you about how it came to be. So 2 weeks ago, I was tasked to bring a word to my church. And this is probably my fourth sermon that I delivered in all these years. So, but our pastor retired about, it's been last Easter, Palm Sunday, he retired. So we've been without a pastor, so it's been people in the congregation to know the word, bringing the word. It's been guest pastors coming in to speak and serving communion. So I took my turn 2 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, I was visiting my brother, Kevin, attended a Bible study at Cindy's house, and it was called The Scent of Psalms, and we were looking at Psalms 130. And what was interesting to me about that Bible study, what jumped out to me, was the fact that as I read that psalm, it's a little short psalm, 8 verses, how much it sounded like a New Testament teaching. And yet this is an Old Testament psalm. And it kind of reminded me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what got my message started for my church. I wanted to let them see that the Old and New Testament are one continuous story from the beginning of creation to the end when Jesus is coming back to establish his new kingdom. A lot of times we can lose sight and think only the New Testament is relevant, but it's the same story, same requirement of faith to come to Jesus has always been through the whole Bible from beginning to end. So I started right. I wanted to take that message to my church. My church, we have about maybe 20 people. I'm the second oldest person. We have 2 old people in the church, and then it drops down to younger couples with kids. Mm-hmm. 4 little girls from age 3 to 5, and their moms dressed in beautiful ribbons. They wear beautiful dresses. They look like they're, you know, their little princesses running around. We only have 3 young men that attend, which I have the privilege of teaching them Sunday school. That's my job, is to teach Sunday school. I was called many years ago by my pastor to teach the Spanish-speaking church in English, bring the English Bible study. So that was the congregation I was preparing my message for. So as I start to write about Psalms, which you're going to see, it's going to be in my opening for today's message, I started thinking, you know, what message do I want to bring to my church? And as I wrote and as I rewrote, I edited it about 4 different times, changing it, cutting out stuff, adding stuff. The message kind of came together. And when it was all done, I looked at it and I gave it the title, Living Word, capital L, capital W. Living Word, Words to Live By. That was the message that it was changed to. But I think the message is well for a younger church as well as an older church.
Yeah, here.
Okay, there we go. Living Word, Words to Live By. There are 150 psalms in the Bible. King David, born approximately 1,010 years before the birth of Christ, had the Psalms compiled and was the author of many of them. 15 of the Psalms, Psalms 120 through 134, are called Songs of Ascent. Ascent means the act of ascending or going up. For example, you can ascend to a higher level of responsibility or social status at your workplace. You can ascend up a ladder, or you can ascend up the slope on a hill. In King David's time, as people ascended up the steps leading to the temple, they paused to worship the Lord by reciting one of the 15 Psalms of Ascent at the appropriate station. You know, what a clever and wise worship tradition to put God's word into your heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You can read all of these 15 short verse psalms together at home. Psalms 120 through 134. And hopefully I've whetted your curiosity and appetite to do so. For better understanding of Psalms of Ascent, Pastor Bell recommended that you read Psalm 119 first. Well, that's not so short a psalm, but it's a good psalm. I'm going to throw in a plug for Wednesday night Bible study. So that was that touched my heart on that Wednesday Bible study. And Bible study with other people, it's a good way to get into the Bible, especially if you have trouble doing your own personal study. You know, get into a Bible study. That'll help you hold you accountable and help you get into the Word. So
That Wednesday study is a meaningful study, so. As you are probably already discovering, that being a follower, the disciple of Jesus, goes far beyond just maintaining religious customs and traditions, or singing praise songs as mentioned in the psalm. We need to come into a vibrant living relationship with Jesus through his living word. The word has the power to renew our minds, change what we think about, change what we desire. And it has, above all, the power to change our wicked and deceitful hearts that reside in the center of our very being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When invited in, Jesus sits in the throne room of our hearts and gives us new willpower, strength, new desire, and courage to live for God. God has many enemies. It sounds strange to think that God has enemies, but he does. God has many enemies who hate him. Not just the Goliaths in the world, but the demons of another place who wage war against our souls. In our own strength, we are no match for them. Just as they are no match for God, who works in us and through us to accomplish his plan. His plan for his glory and honor. Think about the young man David, armed with only a sling and 5 smooth stones from the river. David had the faith and courage to defend God's honor. You gotta stop for a second and get my notes.
Squared away here. Okay.
Just shaking, it might be a little bit of nerves, but it's more, I got trembles already. It doesn't take much to get me going. So David had the courage to defend God's honor. He stood up against a more than 9-foot-tall Philistine who was war-tested. He was a war-tested champion who defiled and challenged the armies of Israel and the living God. Clad in protective armor, Goliath carried a spear whose iron tip weighed 600 shekels. That's about 6 pounds. You can read all about it in 1 Samuel 17. So I'm giving you reading assignments to get you to think about, you know, reading at home and spending, you know, some time. Jesus said to the angel of the church in Laodicea in Revelations 3:14 through 22. So if you have your Bibles, you can open there. I'm going to be reading it. Revelations chapter 3:14-22. Did I say Revelations? Mm-hmm. I meant Revelation. Sorry. So these are all red letters. Jesus' message to John when he was on the island of Patmos. The risen Lord appeared to him. He had messages from 7 churches, but this is the message that I like the best. To the church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired much wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So from that reading, in your minds, what does it look like to be a lukewarm Christian? I'll give you a second to think about how you would describe a lukewarm Christian. Laying under a car doesn't make one a mechanic. To the casual observer, the person may look like he's repairing the car, but he just might be taking a nap. In the same way, being only a hearer of God's word is not enough. You must also become a doer of it. Just as you couldn't drive a car with one foot pressing on the gas pedal and the other on the brake, so too we cannot be sitting on the fence with one foot in heaven and the other foot in the world. We are either all in, or we are not really in at all, but only fooling ourselves. If Jesus is my Savior, he must also be my Lord. Possessing a Bible is not the same as digesting it. We need a daily diet of feeding God's Word to become spiritually, emotionally, you know the rest, mentally, and physically healthy. Our well-being is tethered to God, who wants to bless us on earth in this life as in heaven. And in as in heaven, his kingdom come. If I want to reach my full potential, God has the best plan for my life. Do you believe he wants to make you more like Jesus? To live with him forever? Listen to the prayer Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6, 9 through 14. You guys all know it as the Lord's Prayer, but let's look at it. I like it because it connects heaven and earth. The blessings we receive on earth are important. We think of the spiritual blessings as being most important, but really, they're all important, and they're not separated. So, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Prayer is not a one-way conversation with God, where we give God our want list, and we tell him what we're willing to do for him, and then we ask him to bless our efforts. No. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. We need to be patiently and expectantly wait upon the Lord so we can wisely align our will with what God knows we really need. Listen to Jesus aligning his will with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane while his disciples were fast asleep. Jesus prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. You can take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." So even Jesus knew the importance of prayer to align his will with his Father. And we read throughout the Bible, he prayed constantly and consistently with his Father, and many times, and most of the times, alone. Through prayer, Jesus was readying himself to become the sacrificial Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He died on the cross to pay for the sin debt I deserve. He did for me what I could not do for myself. He bore my sins in his body on the cross. My sins are now buried in the grave once and for all. And I know God accepted Jesus' payment on my behalf because God raised Jesus from the dead and took him home. And because Jesus lives, I too shall live. As Jesus lives through me, I become his hands and feet in today's unbelieving world. Oh, what a gospel story of love, mercy, and reverential redemption we have been given, not only as a privilege, but also as a command to share with an unbelieving world. Does this make you tremble in awe? Fear of the Lord is pure. Fear of the Lord is holy. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now we're going to look at three of Jesus' apostles, Paul, Peter, and John, and how they shared such holy wisdom with the churches they shepherd. So the first is going to be Paul, and we're going to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. These are some of my favorite scriptures in Romans. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We're going to look at some verses from Peter to his church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. Need a bigger place to put my notes in the Bible here. Okay. Peter. 1 Peter 1, 12 through 25. Be holy. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as a stranger here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. And then our last reading is in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. I like, Patrick, that you opened with the reading in John. That fit right into the living word in the sermon. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Say 1 John, and I turn to John. Okay, 1 John. I have to say, John is one of my favorite Bible writers. John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of a sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. So there we have words of wisdom, living words, inspired words that we can live by. In conclusion, I want to leave you with some very practical application questions that can help you. As you read your Bible. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So, like David, are you a believer after God's own heart? In your quiet place, as you examine your own heart, pray and meditate on the Word of God. Sincerely ask God, why is what I am reading in the Bible? What do you want me personally to know or learn from? What difference would or could trusting and obeying your Word make in my life? O Lord God, come into my heart and mind and form in me new thoughts new actions, new habits that I can put into my daily routine and begin each day afresh to live to please you and not just myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that salvation is all about you. Lord, you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. Father, help us to honor you in everything we do. Father, help us as husbands to honor our wives, not just some of the time, but all of the time, Lord. And wives, help wives to honor their husbands. Lord, help us to honor our families. And we pray where we have separation from family members that you would restore relationships. Begin with us, Lord. Begin in our hearts. Let us be the first mover in restoring family relationships. And Lord, help us to honor our church family. Thank you, Lord, that we are in your family. For how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, we should be called children of God. And last but not least, help us to obey our parents. It's for children and for adults as well. Honor your father and your mother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I have a closing song that maybe you do know. Please stand and sing with me.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Desperate for you.
lost without you.
Desperate.
I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air.
Bless you and protect you and keep you safe and watch over you and challenge you this week as we move on with our lives and hopefully with some of that wisdom that Steve gave us. Thank you so much, Lord, for today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming.